From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo lauds TNI's achievements. Germany, European Union strive for the achievement of the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has commended the hard work of the Indonesian military TNI in maintaining public confidence. This was stated by President Joko Widodo at a ceremony to observe TNI's 74th anniversary held at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base on Saturday, October 5. The president remarked that the TNI had acted promptly in assisting people in disaster-hit regions and also successfully secured the simultaneous elections. Other accomplishments in the defense sector are development of an integrated military base in Natuna Island, to be followed by development of similar bases in Biak of Papua Province, Morotai in North Maluku, Merauke in Papua, and Samlaki in Maluku. The Indonesian military also had held a joint training in early September involving 12,500 soldiers of three forces and established joint regional defense commands in Tanjung Pinang in Riau Islands, Balikpapan is Kalimantan, and Biak in Papua on September 27. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on soldiers of the Indonesian military TNI to adapt and adapt it to novel technology. The president noted in his message at the commemoration of the 74th anniversary of the Indonesian military held at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base on Saturday, October 5. President Joko Widodo also drew the attention of TNI soldiers to steer clear of egocentrism and work in close collaboration with all ministries and state institutions in national development. The TNI soldiers must uphold its fusion with civilians through public service operation and TNI's program to build villages. Furthermore, the president was thankful to the Indonesian military for its notable contribution to upholding the nation's sovereignty and guarding its development. Indonesia and Germany will continue to coexist on the United Nations Security Council in the coming years. Indonesia is a strong partner of Germany. Both countries have responsibilities not only at the United Nations, but also in various international forums, such as the G20. This was conveyed by Ambassador of the Republic of Germany, Peter Schoof, at the celebration of German unification in Jakarta, Thursday, October 3. Peter Schoof also said that Germany, along with the European Union, would fight for the achievement of a comprehensive economic partnership agreement between Indonesia and the European Union.
We also, in the coming year, will be trying to send a strong signal for free trade. We in Germany, together with our friends in the European Union, will do everything to really make progress on the way to a comprehensive economic partnership agreement between Indonesia and the European Union. And I hope that despite of some controversial issues, which we discuss very often, you know what I'm talking about, we hope to overcome them and to bring the negotiations to a success.
German Ambassador Peter Skov further said that the election of Indonesia as an official partner in the Hannover Messe Industrial Exhibition in April 2020 is an important stage for bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Germany. Indonesia's participation in the exhibition will also a strategic moment for Indonesia to be 4.0 industrial country. In 2018, Indonesia and India were among the G20 countries with high economic growth, with 5.8% and 5.02% respectively. However, these achievements are still not enough because the economic growth of the two countries should have been faster as both countries have big populations. This was conveyed by Jimmy Rifaigani, an advisor to the Indonesian Minister of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions, and Transmigration in his remarks representing the minister at the Indian Technical and Economic Cooperation ITEC Alumni Day celebration in Jakarta Saturday, October 5. Jimmy added, cooperation between Indonesia and India needs to be improved because the population of the two countries is still below the poverty line.
And India achieving 5.8%, Indonesia achieving 5.02%. But of course, we are not happy with this because we know that Indonesia and India needs to grow even faster as we have big populations. India is number 2, Indonesia is number 4 of the most populated countries in the world, and we still have a lot of people who are still in the disadvantage and living under poverty. I believe that this is very much needed, the cooperation, and with the sending off of our people to India, I believe that it will accelerate the knowledge transfer between the two nations.
Indian Technical and Economic Cooperation ITEC is a scholarship program organized by the Indian government for almost 7 decades. Under ITEC, the Indian government offers special or partially funded scholarships. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. The Singkawang City Administration in West Kalimantan Province has encouraged small and medium-scale producers of chips to expand their market to the neighboring country of Malaysia. Head of Singkawang's Industry, Trade Cooperative and Small Medium Enterprises Office Muslimin stated on Saturday, the local authority has planned to establish a food production center in North Singkawang sub-district. Muslimin said the farmers plant paddy, taro, cassava and banana, and the authority will improve their capability to boost the production of commodities. He explained that the government will offer seeds and fertilizer in addition to training for development of the production center. It will also offer guidance to SMEs, including in the chip production process, packaging, licensing, and machinery as well, for the massive production of chips to meet the market demand. Kota Baru, Batu Licin, South Kalimantan is planned to have a new port to support the launch of a new capital city set in East Kalimantan. The construction was marked by the signing of a concession agreement between the Kota Baru, Batu Licin Class 3 Port Authority Office, the Directorate General of Sea Transportation, the Ministry of Transportation, and PT Pelabuhan Swangi Indah, which was carried out by the President Director of PT Pelabuhan Swangi Indah, Chris Marshaf Tamba. Head of KSOP Class 2 Kota Baru Batu Licin, Captain M. Hermawan, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, said that the location of the port was adjacent to the new capital. The cooperation is expected to be beneficial for the growth of the national economy, especially for the surrounding community. The existence of the port will have a positive impact on national economic growth, ranging from micro to macro, so that development is able to develop the region of South Kalimantan in the future. The last item, the East Nusa Tenggara government together with the central government will make Rinca Island West Manggarai Regency flourish as a business center selling souvenirs for tourists visiting the Komodo Island National Park tourist area. Head of Public Relations and Protocol Bureau of East Nusa Tenggara Secretariat, Marius Jelamu, told Antara in Kupang on Sunday, October 6, said that the business activities that took place on Komodo Island would be controlled so that Komodo Island became a natural tourist location and was free from business activities carried out by traders. Jelamu added, Komodo Island will be arranged as a conservation area. Various buildings deemed unneeded on Komodo Island would be vacated by the government, so Komodo Island became a pleasant tourist area for tourists. According to him, the arrangement on Komodo Island was carried out by the government so that the actual Komodo dragons returned to being wild and not as tame as they are today. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This week's Spotlight is on People's Representative Period 2019 to 2024 inaugurated. A total of 711 members of the People's Consultative Assembly of 2019-2024 period, consisting of 575 members of the House of Representatives and 136 members of the Regional Representative Council, were officially inaugurated on Tuesday, October 1st. The inauguration ceremony began with the reading of the presidential decree regarding the inauguration of the membership of the House by the Secretary General of the Indonesian Parliament, Indra Iskandar. The inauguration was marked by the oath or pledge of new members led by Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Hatta Ali. As usual, the plenary session was presided by the oldest and youngest members of the former House, namely Abdul Wahab Dali Munte, who is 80 years, from the Democratic Party, and Hilary Brigita Lasut, 23 years old, from the Nasdem Party. Both of them led the plenary session, which agenda was, among others, handing over the memory of the leaders of the House of Representatives for the 2014-2019 period to the temporary leadership, followed by the signing of the minutes of handover. The same process was carried out for the inauguration of members of the Regional Representative Council of the Republic of Indonesia. Present as chair of the interim session in the council plenary, the oldest member, Sabam Sirait, from the electoral district of Jakarta, aged 32 years, and Jalika Maharani, a member from Southern Sumatra, at the age of 22. In the plenary session, PDIP politician Puan Maharani was appointed as Speaker of the House. Thus, Puan became the first woman to serve as Speaker of the Parliament. Puan Maharani was appointed as Chairman of the House of Representatives, along with four deputy speakers, namely Aziz Samsudin from Golkar faction, Rahmat Gobel from the Nasdem faction, Sufmi Dasko Ahmad from Gerindra, and Muhaimin Iskandar from PKB. The election of the chairperson of the Regional Representative Council, Lanyala Mataliti, was elected as the chairperson through a vote which was chosen by a total of 134. Lanyala is a representative candidate from West Indonesia too. The next day, on Thursday, October the 3rd, members of the People's Consultative Assembly elected their chairman in a plenary meeting. Golkar politician Bambang Susatyo was finally elected unanimously as the chair of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly for the 2019-2024 period, supported by all factions, namely the 9 factions in the council and the assembly. In his speech, Bambang Susatyo hoped that the assembly could become an open and accommodating institution for the development of society, including efforts to amend the constitution. Bambang Susatyo also hoped that the People's Consultative Assembly would become a national home where efforts to implement the Pancasila ideology and the 1945 Constitution were carried out. That was this week's Spotlight on People's Representatives Period of 2019-2024 inaugurated.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with October 6, 1976, the Thammasat University Massacre. The Thammasat University incident was an attack by the Thai state troops on student protesters on the campus of Thammasat University and the adjacent Sanam Luang field in Bangkok, Thailand on October 6, 1976. Earlier, 4,000 to 5,000 students from various universities had rallied during more than a week opposing the return of former military dictator Thanom Kittikachorn to Thailand from Singapore. The day before the massacre, a drama performed by the demonstrators shows the hanging of the then Crown Prince Fajilangkorn. In response to what was considered as an insult to the royal family, the military and police as well as paramilitary troops surrounded the university. Just before dawn, on October the 6th, attacks on the student protesters began and continued into the afternoon. To this day, the number of victims is still a dispute between the Thai government and the victims who survived. According to the government, 46 were killed in this incident, with 167 injured and 3,000 arrested. Many survivors claim that more than 100 people died. Turning to October the 6th, 1995, planet 51 Pegasi b was discovered. 51 Pegasi b is the first planet discovered around a sun-like star outside the solar system. This planet is a prototype of the hot Jupiter class, orbiting the 51 Pegasi star in Pegasus constellation. The discovery of the planet using the radial velocity method at the Observatoire de Haute-Provence with the ELODIS spectrograph was announced in Nature Journal on October the 6, 1995 by Michael Mayer and Didier Queloz. I'll end with October the 6, 2010, Instagram first launch. Instagram is now one of the most popular applications in the whole world and has had many users since it was first released on October the 6, 2010. Instagram is a photo and video sharing application that allows users to take photos, take videos, apply digital filters, and share them to various social networking services, including Instagram's own. Social media, often referred to as IG, has more than 1 billion active users per month worldwide. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our podcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Paul Jamet. He was listening to our broadcast in French through shortwaves on frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz on September 17, 2019. Hello, Mr. Paul Jamet. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to French section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. Special for you, we'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. Aku kehilanganmu. Listen to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, October the 6th, 2019, is on Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen is of the world's best standard. At the end of the four stages in the 2019 International Tour di Banyuwangi Ijen Bicycle Racing Championship, a number of commissaires or judges from the World Bicycle Racing Federation were very impressed with the implementation of the 8th bicycle race. Chief Commissaire Peter Tomlinson from Australia, who had been involved in the race twice, said competition held by the Banyuwangi District Government was going very well and organized. It was even able to bring in international riders whose composition was very complete from five continents. Peter Tomlinson on Sunday also said this was a very extraordinary race and had increasingly met the world's best standards, even entered the world's 10 best. A similar sentiment was also conveyed by another judge, Karen O'Callaghan, commissaire from Australia. Karen, who came to Banyuwangi for the first time, was impressed by the enthusiasm of the resident in welcoming the racers on each track, which is rarely found in other countries. Apart from the commissaire, the winner of the race, Hobby Hacker of the Japanese Ukyo Team Racer, said the road racing was well designed and packaged. According to him, this was one of the best race tracks he ever followed. The 2019 International Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen itself is an annual bicycle racing agenda 2.2 held by Banyuwangi since 2012. This event has entered the official agenda of the World Bicycle Racing Federation UCI competition and participated by many international and domestic teams. This year, this race was joined by 19 teams with riders from 23 countries who came from five continents. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen, entered to the world's best standard.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, Mr. D. Sarkar in India. He was listening to our broadcast on September 18th, 2019, at 1324 to 1350 hours UTC through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz. In his email, he said that he never receives our key as well. Hello, Mr. D. Sarkar. We are really sorry for your inconvenience. We will forward your email to our management. Please wait for it. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI was service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce Bekepor Rice, a special dish from Kutai Kartanegara located in the province of East Kalimantan. Kalimantan was the site of the Kutai Kingdom in the past, which had a golden period. Among the remnants of this kingdom are some delicious culinary specialties. One of them that can still be found today is Bekepor rice. Formerly, Bekepor rice was served as a royal family meal, so only the royals could enjoy it. But now, everyone can enjoy this Bekepor rice. Bekepor rice, which is a typical food of East Kalimantan, is rice cooked on smoldering charcoal. Before serving, it is placed in a special container called kenceng, kendil or pan. Then put some basil leaves, chili, dried fried fish that has been crushed, and a little lime juice. All the ingredients are mixed into the half-cooked rice that is still steaming hot. After stirring it evenly, distribute it and cook, Bekepor rice is ready to be enjoyed. Bekepor rice is usually served together with sayur gangan asam kukar, a dish with the head of fish and sweet potatoes. There is also king chili sauce. This spicy and appetizing sauce is served with 6 kinds of side dishes or sambal, namely sambal terung goreng or fried eggplant, kacang panjang or long beans, kucai or chives, telur rebus or boiled eggs, ikan haruan or haruan fish, udang rebus or cooked shrimp, and kueni mango. Besides being eaten together with the king's chili sauce, Bekepor rice is often served with daging masak bumi hangus, literally means burned down cooked meat. This side dish is actually meat marinated in soy sauce before being cooked. In addition, Bekepor rice was also used to spread Islam, because at that time, King of Kutai Kartanegara had embraced Islam. In ancient times, Bekepor rice was cooked by turning it on fire embers using kenceng or kendil or a pot made of bronze. This turning process is called Bekepor and usually is accompanied by reciting prayers or the blessings 3 times. Currently, the East Kalimantan Regional Government is also trying to introduce Bekepor rice as one of the traditional food to be proud of. To further popularize this Bekepor rice to tourists, the East Kalimantan Regional Government introduced it through a new dance creation. This Bekepor rice dance illustrates how the East Kalimantan traditional tribe processes raw materials into delicious food. The dance also illustrates how mothers pass on knowledge to their children or their daughters on how to process and present Bekepor rice. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Abdul Razak in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Abdul Razak. How are you today? It has been a long time. We do not receive your email. We are really sorry because at this moment, we cannot provide your requests. Please do not be disappointed and keep listening to our broadcast. Listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Aku hitam, kamu pun putih. Aku air, kamu pun api. Aku siang, kamu pun malam. Aku tidak pernah peduli. Aku pun tak pernah mengerti mengapa aku jatuh hati kepadamu yang jelas-jelas bukan kekasih impianku. Aku tidak akan sempurna bila hidupku tanpa cinta.
Here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener Voice of Indonesia. Today's Miscellany is about SBM ITB targets zero waste campus by 2025. Business and Management School of Bandung Institute of Technology or SBM ITB had concern for environment, among many is plastic waste around the campus. Melia Famiola, SBM ITB Entrepreneurship Division Head, said they will develop some environment-related aspects. In 2025, they target to be a zero-waste campus that is able to process various inorganic wastes such as plastic and paper into goods with economic value. Their first step will be inviting the students to use their own water bottles or tumblers. According to Melia, besides reducing plastic and paper use, SBMITB will also hold workshops involving various environmental community to process those inorganic wastes. The aim is to inspire students and people that waste can be useful with good processing. According to her, waste business is potentially profitable because natural resources is depleting. Until now, people and students know that plastic and paper waste has negative impact, yet they do not know how to process those wastes. Therefore, SBMITB attempts to change their attitude by providing good example, so that awareness about good waste management grows. Melia added, for the environment, currently SBMITB is calculating waste volume that is produced after the information dissemination, and will have 6 monthly or annual evaluations. The data will be shown to people so that they know how to manage waste. So listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Puri Savidadala. See you next time. Takkan salah. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today we will discuss a song by Marcel. Marcel Siahaan, or Marcel, is a male solo singer, drummer, and Indonesian actor whose name began to be known since a duet with Shanti through the song Hanya Memuji in 2002. On September 30, 2019, Marcel released a new song called Perih. This song was composed by Ivan Alidian, an accompanist Marcel who often accompanied him on stage. The song Perih is a song with love lyrics, more precisely the betrayal of love, which is very relevant to the journey of human love in this world. Regardless of age, location, and time, betrayal of love must exist. Here we present you Perih, sung by Marcel.
Sakit ini masih jelas membiru sisa luka darimu kini semakin terasa
bisa ku percaya.
jelas membiru, sisa luka darimu kini semakin terasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Coba kau bayangkan, engkau diperlukan, mentari terbenam, malam jadi teman.
Coba kau bayangkan, waktu terlupa. Lepas
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Sapri Adela. See you on the next English program.